Kenny, once again, we put ourselves out in the world, and the world is coming back at us, and in a global way. So I think, as we discussed, we want to be able to share this with people who are listening, that we've got a response from Split Croatia, a very honored occasion in which Ms. Bogdana Bersa, who is the liaison for the Sister City Association of Split, has invited us to become more than just a sister city, actually sister country podcast site for Split Croatia.
She's at the University of Split. Remember how she found out about us?
Yeah, I remember it was through that series of back and forth over the phone where she's talking to us. She mentioned that one of her esteemed professors at the University of Dubrovnik, where she went as a college student years ago, had contacted her and mentioned that our pod site was something he was using in his syllabus on a regular basis, and that she should listen to it. So she listened to it. She enjoyed the music and the stories and the collages of everyday American life, and said this is something that they wanted to be associated with through their sister city association. So it was through her old professor at the University of Dubrovnik that she found out about us. And then when she called us, almost, well, definitely out of the blue, it was just an incredible treat for us. Norka Shedlock was able to tell us what Bogdana was relating.
So what we have for you folks out there, and especially all of you Croatians, so you're going to be able to understand this interchange that we've got going on here. We thought you might like to hear a little bit of this conversation that we had.
Yes, this is Steven Weinberg. That's the biggest thing I can say is thank you, thank you, thank you. We're amazed, we're surprised, we are appreciative of your acceptance of our podcast in Croatia. How did you even hear about us? I only wish that we could be there live to come and see the people of Croatia, and particularly of Split. And now that we know that your professor in Dubrovnik is interested, perhaps one day, if we can, we'll come visit you, because we would love to be able to meet face-to-face. The podcast is one thing, and the Sister City Association warms our heart, but we'd hope one day that we'll be able to visit you. So there's a broad listening public who listens to English podcasts, and once you related this podcast to them, they hardly agreed that this was to be the official podcast. How did you respond to, I'd like to ask, because there are at least three elements in our podcast. There are the stories, and there's the music, and there are the live, spontaneous broadcasts of real people on the streets. Everything else aside, personally, I would be interested, Bogdana, in knowing what kinds of things you respond to. We here at Word Jam are so curious about the responses of people out there. There are times where we get large responses of listeners and smaller responses of listeners. Some weeks ago, we heard from groups in Japan that were listening to us. Again, took us way off guard. We had no idea. That's the nature of the beast here. We're on podcast, we're on internet, it's global. We don't know who's listening. We get responses from different places. This is a great pleasure for us and a great honor for us.
Minute, everybody, to show. Roll record, please.
Just about every Friday night, I mix a live TV show. I've been doing this for some 20 years now.
30 seconds to live show, everyone. Stand by.
When done, the adrenaline jolt keeps you on the front side of the beat for a few hours.
15 to show.
After my wife left me, I bought this cheesy little house in a close-in suburb because it was all I could afford and had a nice garage and a real fireplace.
Roll 81 and up on it. Here we go. 5, 4.
Nearby this house is a VFW with a seniors retirement condo on top of it. Highly unusual.
Away we go. Open. Have fun, folks.
The specific allure of this VFW was cheap beer and you were allowed to smoke. The lack of pretense, and it became my unlikely spot. I would sit around and read and write, smoke and drink beer. I soon became fast friends with the bartender and would often give him books when I was done with him.
Can I get a mic check from Dominic, please? All right, got it. Thank you.
One semi-cold, 10 below Friday night, I finished a particularly stressful TV show with all manner of musicians, record producers, screaming directors, failing equipment, and the afterglow of the adrenaline rush that comes with all that shit. I drove home and stopped in this VFW to give my bartender friend a book. When I walked in, I was a bit stunned to find the place full of women. This place is never full of anything. I find a seat at the bar, order a draft beer, and thumb through my new colorful race magazine and look for my bartender friend. After a few moments, my adrenaline high subsides a bit, and I realize the place is full of lesbian women. I says to myself. A perky young dark-haired lady squeezed into the bar to order a drink and noticed my racing magazine. A conversation ensues, and it turns out she graduated from the college my son is now attending, and then she bops back to her girlfriend's table. Sitting to my right are a couple of regular types, males. I hear their grumbling. Aren't we liberal? Now we are renting out the hall for lesbian wakes. Glancing over, it is notable that this fellow is wearing a black gambler-style hat, black military-style turtleneck, black jeans, and black cowboy boots. It is apparent that the bartender I am seeking isn't working this night. Flipping open my notebook, I start scribbling some notes on my son's race project, which needs some attention. The man in black is grumbling aggressive. The lesbian cutie returns and borrows the racing rag. I scribble. Next, I hear to my right. So who is this motherfucker with the lesbian girlfriends, and what the hell is he writing about, anyway? I glance over to confirm that it's coming from where I think it's coming from. It is. He gets up and approaches me. I don't know what the hell kind of love interest you got going on here, fella, but you better watch yourself or you're gonna get in trouble. I responded, yes, sir, I will take your advice. He glanced at me, then went back to his stool. I reckon that was the end of that. He went back to scribbling notes about tire pressures, gear ratios, and pop-off pressures. Shortly, he was back.
What the hell are you writing about?
He demanded. I ponder his question for about a nanosecond that seemed to last a week. Adrenaline highs can be like a time machine on hashish. I looked into his iGoogle eyes and said, and why would it be any of your business what I'm writing about?
Well, you better not be writing about me.
And why would I bother writing about you, since I don't know a damn thing about you as you don't me? At this moment, the now drunken lesbian pixie chose to return the racing magazine, knowing nothing of the Psycho Confronto Camus-esque movie in progress.
Wow, those Ferrari pit girls are so cute. Can you introduce me to some of those girls? I'd make it worth your while.
This statement was much akin to injecting pure oxygen into an overheated racing engine running on gasoline and nitromethane. My poor dumb reptile hick brain stuttered, and the proceedings were beginning to sound like a kid's bike with playing cards in the spokes. I was alone, divorced, broke, my son gone off to the academy. It was cold. The way I figured it, the company of a drunk psychopath in black and a brunette lesbian was better than sitting in the basement with a guinea pig and watching a movie. I guess that kind of judgment's kind of what got me divorced anyway, huh? Well, As time slowed down, it was hard to explain that kart or sports car racing in the upper Midwest didn't exactly have the allure of Monte Carlo. So I did the obvious. I lied. Sure, sweetie. I'll fix you up with a pit chick. Give me your cell phone number and I'll call you. She scribbles it on the notebook, kisses me on the cheek, and splits. With a bit of a sly grin, I turn to face my protagonist. His eyeballs are bugging out and he is drooling a bit. Behind his head is a video monitor with the weather radar beaming blizzard warning. I look at the dark red blotches, zoom in on where we are.
What the hell are you staring at, faggot?
He is screaming. His buddies are trying to soothe him. I make the mistake of shifting my glance and focus from the weather to his face.
I got a good mind to kill you, motherfucker.
He's pointing at me with spittle connecting his chin to the Formica bar surface. At this point, I begin planning a strategic retreat. This was no fight to be won. He is blathering accusations and threats at me. The weather monitor shows that we are in a life-threatening storm with 50-mile-an-hour winds and plunging temperatures. The man in black gets up and heads to the John. This is my moment to split the scene. I head for the door. Behind me, I hear a growl.
I'm gonna kill you, bastard.
Oh, shit. The parking lot is ice. The wind is blowing the snow horizontal. There is an element in 20 below with 50-mile-an-hour winds that is similar to shoving that hot green paste that they serve in sushi bars up your ass. Suffice it to say, there was an element of intensity to it when he charged me on the ice. He lunged, and the ice did its God-given job. He went down, and his right leg fell off. It was a prosthetic appendage. On this ice, he was much like a sailboat with a mast down. The wind blew his fake leg across the ice. He continued threatening, yet trying to regain the leg. He had rekindled the adrenaline overhanging me, and I stood above him as his leg was blown across the parking lot, ending up in the nature preserve across the street. A fine metaphor, I reckon. Due to the adrenaline high, I was torn between kicking the shit out of the jerk or helping him out. Fortunately, I was divorced and had learned a great deal about anger and empathy. I really didn't have to think about it, analyze it, explain it, reach any vague form of consensus, call the cops, call HR, be supportive, or apologize to anyone. The fact is, if I had kicked the shit out of him, I would probably have gotten arrested. Conversely, if I had tried to help him, he might have killed me. I simply walked to my car and drove home, leaving him floundering on the ice at 20 below in a 50-mile-an-hour wind. I simply walked to the car and drove home, leaving him floundering in the ice at 20 below zero in a 50-mile-an-hour wind. When I got home, I made a fire in the fireplace, put on bitch's brew, and watched the flames. I was fearful of going back there for some time, but finally did. I managed to hand the book off to my bartender friend, but I was careful to always carry a large saddle-stitching needle taped inside my ankle. There was no sign of the man in black for a couple of months. Then one spring Friday night, there he was. There were bandages on each of his hands. When I looked him in the eyes, he looked away. Upon inquiry, the bartender told me he had fallen in the parking lot and experienced extreme frostbite on both hands before anyone found him. He had lost two fingers on one hand and one on the other. I was also informed that he had a long history of abusing women and had been in therapy since the frostbite treatment. That night in the chilly spring, I sat in the backyard, made a fire, and pondered the man in black. I wondered why I engendered so much angst in that fellow. I never called the lesbian cutie. I figured I had enough complications in my life the way it was. I sometimes think it takes too long to grow up. To quote a famous songwriter, it's a big old goofy world.
So how did you come by those anklets?
Are those yours or what?
I think I got them as a Christmas gift last year. I've had them all this time.
And so you're saying, in fact, they're still virgin socks.
Yeah, right? I have never worn them or washed them.
I have a question. I want to see if you can do this.
Okay.
When those were given to you, how did you say thank you?
Well, I was given a bunch of things.
Okay.
It was like a big package. You have to, you know, be socially correct.
Absolutely. I mean, you get those anklets, you look and go, what are they?
Oh,
and then you say, thank you. How do you say thank you? I'm just curious how you say. If I was the person that gave you those socks, how would you say thank you so that I would believe you?
I pretty much would say it like I'd say it anyway.
Let me hear it. I'm just kidding. Okay. Here, you know.
But it's not truly spontaneous. It's rehearsed. It's
That's okay. I'll pretend like I didn't ask you. And this is Christmas, and there's the tree.
So you're asking me to act like an actor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, be an actor.
Like, oh.
Socks without, what, without any ankles on
them. They're so... The ankles.
They're so white.
I don't dislike them that much.
But that's cool.
But you did say thank you.
Yeah, so you're going
to... Oh, of course.
Look at that. That's a lot of socks.
Yeah. Now, what if they come over to your house and they say...
It's free pair.
You know, how about those socks I gave you?
<That's>
I don't see you wearing those socks. Well,
that's right. Like a phone call every day, maybe, you do, right?
They say, I see the socks that you're wearing go above your ankles.
Wear
the
look at that. Yeah. Those are socks.
Those are knee socks.
Well, it's filled with that kind of thing. Yeah. And slightly not quite, maybe.
It was a nice idea.
You could have thrown them away, but now you're going to take them someplace, and somebody who's going to say, oh my God, these are little short
but
socks.
But you know what, Kenny? They might just say, oh, thank you.
I should have taken him down there at the beginning of summer, though, when the giraffe wouldn't have been.
That's right. Hot.
Yes.
Sir, for badminton, et cetera.
On a windy day, if you're wearing these things, you're going to, and if it's cold out, you're going to feel the drought.
You are.
There are a lot of people that get new socks in there that, you know, they're wearing socks that are absolutely filthy. They'll stand up in the corner.
No, it's a really nice thing.
So they're still clean.
Yeah.
And new.
Yeah.
I'll plug them up.
I think they're a good thing. They're clean and they're new. You're right.
And they're short.
And they're short.
They are short.
They're
you know,
short.
But maybe
you keep trying to pull them up, you know.
Maybe they'll go to some right. very short people. And where our ankles are would be a little higher.
Or people with extremely good-looking ankles.
There you go. You don't want to cover up those calves? You want to just only up to them?
Okay, I think, when you're wearing shorts in the summertime and you want to show off your calves or whatever, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's...
Those have always driven me crazy, too, though. I've never been able to stand those.
I think they're supposed to be considered fashionable. I can't buy into it.
Yeah. You know, we're not slaves to fashion. We just aren't.
Just like these are supposed to be fashionable. Check this out. You know, I mean, you know what I don't understand? And they're shorts. And obviously it's a bit late, sure. It's not summer.
Yeah.
You know what gets me is why? It's fashionable, but why do they put these little flaps on the back pocket with a button? I mean, what?
I don't know.
Do you like to have to unbutton your back pocket?
Especially
maybe
in the back.
It's an anti-shoplifting thing.
I don't know. It seems weird.
I gotta get off this bus. But, and cuffs. That's fashion.
On your shorts?
On shorts?
Well, regardless, but even cuffs, period. Like, it's a place where things collect.
That's right.
Yeah. Germs.
That too.
Germs, dust bunnies, good stuff.
Yeah. Oh, that's okay.
And what's in there?
We've got two black shirts, a pair of jeans, and a flannel shirt. Oh, this is something I definitely want to get rid of. I'm kind of embarrassed to show anybody this.
Why?
A cup with ducks on.
A cup?
Something you may not want to show everybody that comes over, right? So I just get rid of it.
Well,
excuse me, where's your duck? You know, you don't have...
Oh, I want
you
the
have
with
a duck.
Duck on it, please. You still have it? I told everybody about it.
Well, was that a Christmas present?
I don't know where I got this. I don't remember. I haven't had that one. I think somebody left it. I think somebody came over and brought it with them.
a person who wasn't intended to be your friend if it was a duck cup person.
I'm not sure where it came from.
That's mysterious.
Yeah. I should have gotten up already.
Uh-oh. Sorry, we got involved in your donations that are here.
It's okay. It was fun. All right, you guys.
Take it easy.
Word jam.
15.
Word jam.
Kenny, once again, we put ourselves out in the world, and the world is coming back at us, and in a global way. So I think, as we discussed, we want to be able to share this with people who are listening, that we've got a response from Split Croatia, a very honored occasion in which Miss Bogdana Bersa, who is the liaison for the Sister City Association of Split, has invited us to become more than just a sister city, actually sister country podcast site for Split Croatia.
She's at the University of Split. Remember how she found out about us?
Yeah, I remember it was through that series of back and forth over the phone where she's talking to us. She mentioned that one of her esteemed professors at the University of Dubrovnik, where she went as a college student years ago, had contacted her and mentioned that our pod site was something he was using in his syllabus on a regular basis and that she should listen to it. So she listened to it. She enjoyed the music and the stories and the collages of everyday American life and said this is something that they wanted to be associated with through their Sister City Association. So it was through her old professor at the University of Dubrovnik that she found out about us. And then when she called us, definitely out of the blue, it was just an incredible treat for us. Norka Shedlock was able to tell us what Bogdana was relating.
So what we have for you folks out there, and especially all of you Croatians, so you're going to be able to understand this interchange that we've got going on here. We thought you might like to hear a little bit of this conversation that we had.
Yes, this is Steven Weinberg. That's the biggest thing I can say is thank you, thank you, thank you. We're amazed, we're surprised, we are appreciative of your acceptance of our podcast in Croatia. How did you even hear about us? I only wish that we could be there live to come and see the people of Croatia, and particularly of Split. And now that we know that your professor in Dubrovnik is interested, perhaps one day, if we can, we'll come visit you, because we would love to be able to meet face-to-face. The podcast is one thing, and the Sister City Association warms our heart, but we'd hope one day that we'll be able to visit you. So there's a broad listening public who listens to English podcasts. And once you related this podcast to them, they hardly agreed that this was to be the official podcast. How did you respond to, I'd like to ask, because there are at least three elements in our podcast. There are the stories, and there's the music, and there are the live, spontaneous broadcasts of real people on the streets. Everything else aside, personally, I would be interested, Bogdana, in knowing what kinds of things you respond to.
Excuse me,
we here at Word Jam are so curious about the responses of people out there. There are times where we get large responses of listeners and smaller responses of listeners. Some weeks ago, we heard from groups in Japan that were listening to us. Again, took us way off guard. We had no idea. That's the nature of the beast here. We're on podcasts. We're on internet. It's global. We don't know who's listening. We get responses from different places. This is a great pleasure for us and a great honor for us.
Whole minute, everybody, to show. Roll record, please.
Just about every Friday night, I mix a live TV show. I've been doing this for some 20 years now.
30 seconds to live show, everyone. Stand by.
When done, the adrenaline jolt keeps you on the front side of the beat for a few hours.
15 to show.
After my wife left me, I bought this cheesy little house in a close-in suburb because it was all I could afford and had a nice garage and a real fireplace.
3, 2,
roll 81, and yep on it. There we go.
5, 4.
Nearby this house is a VFW with a senior's retirement condo on top of it. Highly unusual.
Away we go.
Open.
Have fun, folks.
The specific allure of this VFW was cheap beer and you were allowed to smoke. The lack of pretense, and it became my unlikely spot. I would sit around and read and write, smoke and drink beer. I soon became fast friends with the bartender and would often give him books when I was done with him.
Can I get a mic check from Dominic, please? All right, got it. Thank you.
One semi-cold, 10 below Friday night, I finished a particularly stressful TV show with all manner of musicians, record producers,
super
screaming directors, failing equipment, and the afterglow of the adrenaline rush that comes with all that shit. I drove home and stopped in this VFW to give my bartender friend a book. When I walked in, I was a bit stunned to find the place full of women. This place is never full of anything. I find a seat at the bar, order a draft beer, and thumb through my new colorful race magazine and look for my bartender friend. After a few moments, my adrenaline high subsides a bit, and I realize the place is full of lesbian women. I says to myself. A perky young dark-haired lady squeezed into the bar to order a drink and noticed my racing magazine. Conversation ensues, and it turns out she graduated from the college my son is now attending, and then she bops back to her girlfriend's table. Sitting to my right are a couple of regular types, males. I hear their grumbling. Aren't we liberal? Now we are renting out the hall for lesbian wakes. Glancing over, it is notable that this fellow is wearing a black gambler-style hat, black military-style turtleneck, black jeans, and black cowboy boots. It is apparent that the bartender I am seeking isn't working this night. Flipping open my notebook, I start scribbling some notes on my son's race project, which needs some attention. The man in black is grumbling aggressive. The lesbian cutie returns and borrows the racing rag. I scribble. Next, I hear to my right, so who is this motherfucker with the lesbian girlfriends, and what the hell is he writing about, anyway? I glance over to confirm that it's coming from where I think it's coming from. It is. He gets up and approaches me. I don't know what the hell kind of love interest you got going on here, fella, but you better watch yourself or you're gonna get in trouble. I responded, yes, sir, I will take your advice. He glanced at me, then went back to his stool. I reckon that was the end of that. He went back to scribbling notes about tire pressures, gear ratios, and pop-off pressures. Shortly, he was back.
What the hell are you writing about?
He demanded. I ponder his question for about a nanosecond that seemed to last a week. Adrenaline highs can be like a time machine on hashish. I looked into his iGoogle eyes and said, and why would it be any of your business what I'm writing about?
Well, you better not be writing about me.
And why would I bother writing about you? since I don't know a damn thing about you as you don't me. At this moment, the now drunken lesbian pixie chose to return the racing magazine, knowing nothing of the Psycho Confronto Camus-esque movie in progress.
Wow, those Ferrari pit girls are so cute. Can you introduce me to some of those girls? I'd make it worth your while.
This statement was much akin to injecting pure oxygen into an overheated racing engine running on gasoline and nitromethane. My poor dumb reptile hick brain stuttered, and the proceedings were beginning to sound like a kid's bike with playing cards in the spokes. I was alone, divorced, broke, my son gone off to the academy. It was cold. The way I figured it, the company of a drunk psychopath in black and a brunette lesbian was better than sitting in the basement with a guinea pig and watching a movie. I guess that kind of judgment's kind of what got me divorced anyway, huh? Well, as time slowed down, it was hard to explain that kart or sports car racing in the upper Midwest didn't exactly have the allure of Monte Carlo. So I did the obvious. I lied. Sure, sweetie. I'll fix you up with a pit chick. Give me your cell phone number and I'll call you. She scribbles it on the notebook, kisses me on the cheek, and splits. With a bit of a sly grin, I turn to face my protagonist. His eyeballs are bugging out and he is drooling a bit. Behind his head is a video monitor with the weather radar beaming blizzard warning. I look at the dark red blotches, zoom in on where we are.
What the hell are you staring at, faggot?
He is screaming. His buddies are trying to soothe him. I make the mistake of shifting my glance and focus from the weather to his face.
I got a good mind to kill you, motherfucker.
He's pointing at me with spittle connecting his chin to the formica bar surface. At this point, I begin planning a strategic retreat. This was no fight to be won. He is blathering accusations and threats at me. The weather monitor shows that we are in a life-threatening storm with 50-mile-an-hour winds and plunging temperatures. The man in black gets up and heads to the John. This is my moment to split the scene. I head for the door. Behind me, I hear a growl.
I'm gonna kill you, bastard.
Oh, shit. The parking lot is ice. The wind is blowing the snow horizontal. There is an element in 20 below with 50 mile an hour winds that is similar to shoving that hot green paste that they serve in sushi bars up your ass. Suffice it to say, there was an element of intensity to it when he charged me on the ice. He lunged and the ice did its God-given job. He went down and his right leg fell off. It was a prosthetic appendage. On this ice, he was much like a sailboat with a mast down. The wind blew his fake leg across the ice. He continued threatening, yet trying to regain the leg. He had rekindled the adrenaline overhanging me, and I stood above him as his leg was blown across the parking lot, ending up in the nature preserve across the street. A fine metaphor, I reckon. Due to the adrenaline high, I was torn between kicking the shit out of the jerk or helping him out. Fortunately, I was divorced and had learned a great deal about anger and empathy. I really didn't have to think about it, analyze it, explain it, reach any vague form of consensus, call the cops, call HR, be supportive, or apologize to anyone. The fact is, if I had kicked the shit out of him, I would probably have gotten arrested. Conversely, if I had tried to help him, he might have killed me. I simply walked to my car and drove home, leaving him floundering on the ice at 20 below in a 50-mile-an-hour wind. When I got home, I made a fire in the fireplace, put on bitches brew, and watched the flames. I was fearful of going back there for some time, but finally did. I managed to hand the book off to my bartender friend, but I was careful to always carry a large saddle stitching needle taped inside my ankle. There was no sign of the man in black for a couple of months. Then one spring Friday night, there he was. There were bandages on each of his hands. When I looked him in the eyes, he looked away. Upon inquiry, the bartender told me he had fallen in the parking lot and experienced extreme frostbite on both hands before anyone found him. He had lost two fingers on one hand and one on the other. I was also informed that he had a long history of abusing women and had been in therapy since the frostbite treatment. That night in the chilly spring, I sat in the backyard, made a fire, and pondered the man in black. I wondered why I engendered so much angst in that fellow. I never called the lesbian cutie. I figured I had enough complications in my life the way it was. I sometimes think it takes too long to grow up. To quote a famous songwriter, it's a big old goofy world.
So how did you come by those anklets?
Are those yours or what?
I think I got them as a Christmas gift last year. I've had them all this time.
And so you're saying, in fact, they're still virgin socks.
Yeah, I have never worn them or washed them.
I have a question. I want to see if you can do this.
Okay.
When those were given to you, how did you say thank you?
Well, I was given a bunch of things.
Okay.
It was like a big package. You have to, be socially correct.
Absolutely. I mean, you get those anklets, you look at them and go, what are they? And then you say, thank you. How do you say thank you? I'm just curious how you say if I was the person that gave you those socks, how would you say thank you so that I would believe you?
I pretty much would say it like I'd say it anyway.
Let me hear it. I'm just kidding.
But it's not truly spontaneous. It's rehearsed.
That's okay. I'll pretend like I didn't ask you. And this is Christmas, and there's the tree.
So you're asking me to act like an actor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, be an actor.
Like, oh.
Socks without, what, without any ankles on them.
They're so... The ankles.
They're so white.
I don't dislike them that much.
But that's cool.
But you did say thank you.
Yeah, so you're going
to... Oh, of course.
Look at that. That's a lot of socks. Yeah.
Now, what if they come over to your house and they say...
It's free pair.
They say, how about those socks I gave you?
<That's>
I don't see you wearing those socks. Well,
that's right. Like a phone call every day, maybe you do, right?
They say, I see the socks that you're wearing go above your ankles.
Wear
them. Look at that. Yeah. Those are socks.
Those are knee socks.
Just about. Well, it's filled with that kind of thing. Slightly not quite, maybe.
It was a nice idea.
You could have thrown them away, but now you're going to take them someplace, and somebody who's going to say, oh, my God, these are little short socks.
But you know what, Kenny? They might just say, oh, thank you. You never know.
I should have taken them down there at the beginning of summer, though, when that's the giraffe wouldn't have been.
That's right.
Yes.
Sir, for badminton, et cetera.
On a windy day, if you're wearing these things, you're going to, and if it's cold out, you're going to feel the giraffe.
You are.
There are a lot of people that get new socks in there that, they're wearing socks that are absolutely filthy. They'll stand up in a corner.
No, it's a really nice thing.
So they're still clean.
Yeah.
And new.
Yeah.
I'll plug them up.
I think they're a good thing. They're clean and they're new. You're right.
And they're short.
And they're short.
They are short.
They're short.
But maybe
you keep trying to pull them up,
Maybe they'll go to some very short people. And where our ankles are would be a little higher.
Or people with extremely good-looking ankles.
There you go. You don't want to cover up those calves? You want to just only up to them?
Okay, I think when you're wearing shorts in the summertime and you want to show off your calves or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's...
Those have always driven me crazy too, though. I've never been able to stand those.
I think they're supposed to be considered fashionable. I can't buy into it.
Yeah. We're not slaves to fashion. No, we just aren't.
Just like these are supposed to be fashionable. I don't understand. And they're shorts. And obviously it's a bit late, sure. It's not summer.
Yeah.
You know what gets me is why? It's fashionable, but why do they put these little flaps on the back pocket with a button?
I don't know.
Do you like to have to unbutton your back pocket?
Especially
maybe
in the back.
It's an anti-shoplifting thing.
I don't know. It seems weird.
I gotta get out for fun. But and cuffs. That's fashion.
On your shorts?
On shorts?
Well, regardless, but even cuffs, period. Like, it's a place where things collect.
That's right.
Yeah. Germs.
That too.
Germs, dust bunnies, good stuff.
Yeah. Oh, that's okay.
And what's in there?
Well, we've got two black shirts, a pair of jeans, and a flannel shirt. Oh, and this is something I definitely want to get rid of. I'm kind of embarrassed to show anybody this.
Why?
A cup with ducks on.
A cup?
Something you may not want to show everybody that comes over, right? So I just get rid of it. Then.
Well,
excuse me, where's your duck? You know, you don't have.
Oh, I want
you don't have a duck
on it, please. You still have it? I told everybody about it.
Well, was that a Christmas present?
I don't know where I got this. I don't remember. I haven't had that one. I think somebody came over and brought it with them.
A person who wasn't intended to be your friend, if it was a duck cup person.
I'm not sure where it came from.
That's mysterious.
Yeah. I should have gotten off already.
Uh-oh. Sorry, we got involved in your donations that are here.
It's okay. It was fun. All right, you guys.
Take it easy.
Word Jam.
15.